Good morning. Here at the beginning, I want to give a shout out to the folks from our very own Ohio Conference for the excellent work they've done in preparing our Advent worship materials. The theme this year is On the Road, and so throughout Advent and on into Epiphany, we're going to be on a journey to six destinations: readiness, repentance, restoration, revelation, rejoicing, and radiance. Today, we're on the road to readiness. As I was preparing this sermon, this song, which was a 1965 hit from the Impressions, called People Get Ready, kept going through my head. People get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, it's time to get on board. There's hope for all, for those loved the most. So people get ready, there's a train coming. In Monday's edition of the Daily Record, Governor DeWine stated that COVID-19 was a runaway freight train. That is not the train we're talking about here. Though it may seem like it's just a regular gospel song, People Get Ready was actually written right before Martin Luther King was going to be marching in Chicago, which was the Impressions' hometown. And so the lyrics sort of have this message of persistence and deliverance, and it became a massive musical influence during the Civil Rights era. So while it may feel like we're stuck on a runaway freight train, especially over this past year, I'm here to tell you that Advent is here. There's another train coming, and it's picking up passengers from coast to coast. And as the first candle of Advent often signifies, there's hope for all among those loved the most. So people, get ready. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture text this morning from Isaiah is quite simply a cry for help. Here in this season of Advent, especially during these anxious days, there may be no better passage in the Old Testament to describe our hope for salvation, our longing to be rescued, and our waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The first verse was often prayed by the Jews during the Holocaust as a cry to God to rescue them from their suffering and persecution. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Verse 2 is much the same. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down and make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. In verse 3, the prophet beseeches God to do what God has done in the past, to enter once again into the human experience. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. The leader describes this passage beautifully. This readiness is a desire for God, a heart cry for God at our level or in our circumstances. Here, not distant, Isaiah projects something of the miracle of incarnation That is, God present with us, meeting a longing of the human heart. So we pray, Maranatha, come, O Lord. We sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Be with us, O God, we cry. Come down. So that is our hope, and that is our prayer. And yet here we are, stuck in the middle of a pandemic. We're still trying to figure out how to be safe and how to keep others safe. We're still working from home, or we're working 12-hour shifts with N95 masks and scrubs, or maybe we're not working at all. We're teachers, parents, school staff, youth, and children, all trying to figure out the balance between safety and education. We're isolated, we're lonely, we're anxious, we're mourning, we're missing our family and our friends, we're missing our church family. It's the first Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we're still trying to be thankful, even though the holiday looked very different this year. It's the Sunday when we often light the candle of hope, and we're trying to be hopeful. It's the first Sunday of Advent, and we're waiting. We're waiting on that train to Jordan, waiting for the Messiah to come and save us. So we're waiting. That's a given. But as Bob Marley sings, I don't want to be waiting in vain, and I'm sure you don't want to wait in vain either. This waiting may feel like we're just sitting on our hands doing nothing, but that's not the kind of waiting we're talking about here. So how do we wait? Verse 4 offers us some clues. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. As we explore this verse further, I believe there are three ways we are to be ready and waiting. Our waiting is expectant, our waiting is confident, our waiting is diligent. First, our waiting is expectant. The song "People Get Ready" portrays this sense of expectation. There is a train a-coming. As the scripture states, God will act on behalf of those who wait for God. In this passage, the Hebrew word for wait implies that one recognizes his or her helplessness and is relying on God for rescue and salvation. For years, my grandparents had a billboard out on the edge of the highway near their property, and it simply said, "Christ is coming. Are you ready?" The words imply both a future occurrence and a present promise. Our Savior may not be here yet, but he is coming. So we remain vigilant. We wait in anticipation of our salvation. Our waiting is expectant. Secondly, our waiting is confident. In Spanish, the last part of this verse is translated as "Actúe en favor de quienes en él confían," or literally, "You act in favor for whomever has confidence in or who trusts in you." It's interesting to note here that other Spanish translations use espera, which is from the root esperar, which means both to hope and to wait. So we both wait for and we place our hope in God to save us. Unlike English, Hebrew has several words for wait. Rabbi Wertheimer explains that while all of these words refer to waiting, all but one infer doubt as to what the outcome of waiting will be. The word used in our passage is different, and it refers to a situation whereby one totally believes that whatever she is anticipating will happen, and she is just waiting for it to become reality. So our waiting is expectant, our waiting is confident, and finally, our waiting is diligent. In The Wisdom of Waiting for the Messiah, Rabbi Ginsburg analyzes the oft-quoted passage from the book of Habakkuk describing the coming of the Messiah. If he shall tarry, wait for him. Come, he shall surely come. He shall not be late. This statement has been paraphrased in the 13 Principles of Faith as, I believe with complete faith in the coming of the Messiah, and even though he may delay, nevertheless, I wait every day for his coming. According to Rabbi Ginsburg, belief in the Messiah actually draws his presence into the world. This waiting, the same verb which is in our passage, is not a passive state of procrastination, but an actual exertion of effort and a time of preparation and strengthening. So we wait, but we wait with the expectation that God is coming to save us. We wait with complete confidence that God will save us. And we wait diligently, actively preparing for God's salvation. Let me close with one more interesting note regarding wait as it is used in our passage. The Hebrew conjugation in this passage and throughout the Bible actually strengthens the meaning of the word so that it quite literally means to hold onto like a hook, to cling to stick to the belief that deliverance is on the way while we wait for its expected arrival. So we pray, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Ojalá rascarás los cielos y descenderás, as when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Nadie ha escuchado ni percibido, ni ojo alguno ha visto a un Dios que como tú actúe en favor de quienes en él confían. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. I know 2020 hasn't been easy, but God has stuck with you like super glue. So the question is, during this time of Advent, are you going to wait for, i.e., stick with God? And if so, will your waiting be expectant? Will your waiting be confident? And will your waiting be diligent? Christ is coming. Are you ready? Let us pray. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Teach us, Lord, teach us, Lord, to wait. Amen.